Verse 35, it says this. Jesus wept. That's it. That's all I got. Well, God bless you. So no, there's more. I've looked at that many times, and I've heard lots of different sermons about it and by people and guys, and definitely preach a lot better than I can. But this particular passage of scripture took on a little different meaning for me from something I actually had to go through myself. In the year 2013, I was diagnosed with incurable cancer, and it was a difficult time, but it was an unusual time because I surely didn't see it coming, and I don't know if anybody really gets to see those things coming. You know, there's lots of prophets in the church, and they prophesy all the time, but ain't no prophets told me I was going to get cancer. Prepare yourself. Build your faith up. Be ready. Something's going to happen. Ain't nobody prophesied that. You know, sometimes you wonder how many prophecies are coming down or actually really a revelation, or they're just sometimes people just say stuff just to say it, you know. And then when something like that happens, if you've ever gone through a tragedy, there's always somebody that's going to tell you why they think this is happening to you. Well, you weren't in the Word enough, or you weren't praying enough, or you left the window open of faith somewhere, or all you got to do to get through that is do this and do that. Eat this, drink that, say this, say that, and it goes away. These are usually folks that had never been through something like that. They seem to know more about it than you do, and you're going through it, and they're just on the outside looking in. And sometimes, be honest with you, you just don't know. And the more you try to figure it out, the worse it gets. Because you don't know why it came, and you don't know what's going to happen, so you start asking God questions like, well, what happened? This doesn't make any sense. And if he didn't tell you it's coming, he's probably not going to tell you what's going to happen next. You are in the middle of a faith journey. You're in the middle of trusting God in the dark and not forgetting in the darkness what you heard in the light. Because sometimes we hear stuff when it's light and everything's bright and cheery, but then when life gets dark, we forget what we heard in the light when the lights go out. So the Bible says Jesus wept. I'm thinking, so why did he weep there? And why does it say he wept there? And it doesn't say it anywhere else. And this has to do with the death of Lazarus, his dear friend. Now, when you hear about somebody about to die or somebody's dying, that's usually when you break out in tears. How many times have you heard about somebody that passed away? It just hits you. But he didn't cry then when he heard it. He didn't cry on the way to go to Lazarus. Even when he got there, when Lazarus' sisters came out and says, where were you? You should have been here. There was no crying. People around were crying. He still wasn't crying until he said, take me to the place where you buried him. When he went to the tomb, that's where he cried. Because the tomb represents the point of no return. This is it, the end of the story. Graveyard dead, gone. It's all over. It's finished. Nothing else to do. It's there that he cries. Jesus is basically saying, look, won't you take me to the place where you said, it's done, it's over, I'm done, I can't do no more, I'm finished, I'm through. Where you buried your life, where your life got buried and your dream got buried. You know, I know what that feels like. You sit in a doctor's office and he tells you, you're going to die of cancer, go get your things together. And the way these guys say this, man, it's like it's like they're not talking to another person. You know, it's like they're talking to a chalkboard, you know, and there's no reaction. And it's, you know, guys telling you you're going to die and you got so much, you might be able to live so long and this and that. And it you don't know what you're going to do until he tells you that. But, you know, when he told me that, you start to evaluate your life really fast. And you start to think, well, have I done enough? I figure, well, maybe this is it. Maybe it's over. Maybe it's done. This got to be the worst moment of my life. This is my grave. This is it. This is where you wrap things up. And you think, well, what's my legacy going to be? You think about all those things. But you know that this has got to be the worst thing you've ever heard. What can be worse than somebody tell you about to die? Jesus is saying, look, take me to the tomb of your life. Take me to the place where you gave up. Take me to the worst moment of your life. What's the worst moment of your life? You take me there. That's where we're going to start. That's where he weeps. That's where he gets involved. That's where you see him in a way you've never seen him before. And I want you this morning just to think about, what is that worst moment of your life? What is that Lazarus tomb moment? Maybe it's when somebody close to you die. I'm very familiar with death, believe me. I have my brothers, my sister, I have nieces and nephews and everything. And the one niece that I was the closest to, we could talk about anything, and she was the one who would actually come and visit me, you know. I mean, and we were really close, and one day I found out she had brain cancer, and she didn't recover. And I lost her. I lost my brother suddenly, who was very much like a father to me, and because he was like my hero. He was 25 years, he was a cop, he was the toughest guy in the neighborhood. He was the guy, when I wrote songs like Champion and things like that, I always had him in mind. What would he say? How would he say this? What would be his attitude? And so he was like permeated through all of my songs. You know, there was a certain little tough guy image that I used to write in a lot of my songs. It was always after my older brother, Mario. My family, we had a lot of Marios. It's an Italian thing. I had five cousins named Mario, brother Mario, grandfather was a Mario. I had an aunt Marion. Got a dog named Spaghetti. I mean, the whole nine yards. So he was the hero to all of us. He was the tough guy. He was the guy that you called, and he says, somebody's bothering me. And he never asked how big they were. He didn't ask, you know, what did they do? What did they say? He just wanted to know who was it. And all you got to do is point, and he goes at him like a German shepherd, seething at the mouth. You know, he was just fearless. Nobody scared him. I always wanted to be like that. And the day that he passed away, it changed my life. I was with a guy named Sean Sellers who was on death row, and he wanted me to be his dead man walking pastor when he was going to be executed because he had killed some folks and his execution time, and I had to be there with him when he was executed. So I was there when my father passed away. I was the one who had to make the decision to turn the machines off. I was very familiar with death. One thing I wasn't familiar with is me dying, because I'm not supposed to be dying. I'm like, wait a minute, this can't be right. I can't be dying of cancer. You don't understand something. I'm the I love Jesus, yes I do God. I don't die of cancer, you know. I want all these souls to the Lord. I got some credit up in heaven, you know. I mean, surely I should get a pass on this. I mean, look at all the stuff I've done. But let me tell you something. That doesn't mean a whole lot. Because the Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. So sometimes you think, well, this guy, he ministers to all these people, and he prays for all these people, and he has this big ministry, or he leads all these people to the Lord. I guess his jewels are going to be big, and his crown's going to be monstrous. No, it just means to whom much is given, much is required. So folks that are gifted like that have to do that just to break even. Our blessing and our cursing doesn't start or stop until we walk off that stage and live it. What we've been talking about. We're anointed to preach it, we're anointed to sing it, but no more anointed to live it than the next guy. So I don't look at it that way. But when somebody tells you you're going to die, you do look at it. You pull on every favor you think you have with God. And I made promises to God that, man, just said, Lord, if you heal me, I promise you I'll never eat sugar again. And I'll... nothing but white flour, and I won't eat any more of those chocolate cupcakes with the icing in the middle, and no more Twizzlers, no more Three Musketeers bars, no more popcorn with extra butter, no more Diet Cokes. Lord, you're going to have to just take me because I can't do this. How many don't talk about it, you know what I'm saying? But I'm here to tell you today that if you're going through one of these moments, You're not alone. And if you haven't been warned that a tragedy was about to streak your life, hit your life, you are not alone. I know exactly what that feels like. I want to read one more passage of scripture to you, and I think we'll be able to relate to this. Mark 16:15. I think you've heard this before, this scripture. It says, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. When they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. We all want to be this person. My whole life I wanted to be this person. I wanted to be the guy that's winning souls. I wanted to be the guy that's out there baptizing, converting, and preaching, and evangelizing, and driving out demons, and handling deadly things, and laying hands on the sick. Because I know if we can do all that stuff, you'll have your own TV show. But sometimes you can work so hard for the kingdom and do all the right stuff, and right in the middle something happens, and boy, you don't see it coming. And nothing warns you that it's coming. Because check this out. I always look at it like this. It's like Jesus giving you a, rubbing your shoulders like you're going out for the fight of your life. And he's giving you the ultimate pep talk. And he's saying, okay, champ, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get out there, yeah. And I want you to go be baptizing, yeah. And converting, yeah. Preaching, yeah. Evangelizing, yeah. Driving out demons, yeah. And, you know, if you drink any deadly thing, it's not going to kill you. Huh? And you lay hands on the sick and they shut. Wait, Lord. Wait a minute. Wait. What? What do you mean if I drink any deadly thing? When I drink anything? You mean if I drink any deadly thing, not when? No, it's when you drink a deadly thing. Sometimes in the course of living this Christian life and trying to do everything right, sometimes you drink a deadly thing and you don't see it coming. And I want you to know that's part of our Christian experience. Sometimes the tragedies that come into our lives, we can't figure it out. And the more you try to figure it out, the more you try to find where it came from and how it got there and what allowed it to happen. If God doesn't really reveal it to you, like usually you'll know right away, he probably doesn't want you to know. And I'm here to tell you, stop trying to figure it out, because you're going to drive yourself crazy. And anything anybody says that they think is the reason, it's going to sound right to you. And you're going to lose your faith because you're going to feel like you didn't hear God enough to see this coming, or you weren't strong enough in the Lord to see it coming. And I know what it's like. I had to go through 9 months of chemo. Man, I don't know if you ever been through chemo, but man, that's some heavy stuff. It just, it wrecks you. I mean, your hair falls out. I mean, all my hair fell out. And, you know, look, bald is beautiful. But for an Italian, it's different. We need our hair. And we need our eyebrows, too, because most of us only got one eyebrow. It goes straight across. But when that stuff starts to happen and you see the effects of tragedy in your life, you start to doubt whether or not you can hear from God at all. And I want you to know that you're not alone in this. And this is common stuff. And it's only Jesus that will come to the worst moment of your life and say, let me help you. Let me call your name, because I'm the one that can resurrect you. And I've been singing songs about Lazarus for years. I've been singing songs about resurrection for years. I didn't know that someday I was going to be that Lazarus. I was going to be the one where Jesus came to the worst moment of my life and called my name and brought me back from the dead. Because I should have been dead several times already. When I was in chemotherapy, they had this time with this situation where you go into a neutropenic stage, which means you have no immune system, which means you can catch anything. And if you catch even the slightest cold or chill, you could die from it. I caught pneumonia. I should have been dead within hours, but I'm still here. Let me tell you something. It is no secret what God can do, what he's done for others, he'll do for you. And I'm here to pray for you today. I'm here to pray that God touches your life, that God infuses healing into your body, into your life, and not just resurrects your body, but resurrects your life and your call and your purpose here. Because some things that are happening to you, you don't know where they came from, but the only thing you do know is Jesus is there at the worst moment of your life, that these things that happen to you, even if you drank a deadly thing, it happens to all of us. This is a common experience with all Christians. And if you can see somebody else that made it through, then you can make it through too. You have a part two. You have another chapter. You have a sequel. This morning, you came to the right place. It's the right time, and it's your time. Can somebody give God some praise here today? I got a song I want to sing for you. When I was in treatment, I was writing songs. I didn't have no hair. My head was all hanging sideways because you're all doped up from this chemo. I think someday I'm going to be able to stand before folks and sing this song. The Spirit of the Lord is here to heal. The presence of the Holy One revealed. There's faith enough for a miracle today. So believe this, receive this as you say. Somebody here needs to say, Jesus, heal me. Oh, Jesus, heal me. Oh, Lord Jesus, touch my life, my body, and my mind. Jesus, heal me. Jesus, heal me. By your stripes, Jesus, heal me tonight. Some of your lives have been hurt by tragedy, but I want you to say, Jesus, heal me. You might need to close your eyes and say, Jesus, heal me. Lord Jesus, touch my life. My body and my mind. Jesus, heal me. Jesus, heal me. By your stripes, Jesus, heal me tonight. If I'm talking to you this morning and your life has been touched by tragedy and heartbreak and a sense of loss, and you don't know how to get it back, and you're broken inside, I want you to know he's still the mender of the brokenhearted, the Bible says. And I want to pray for you this morning. As we sing this chorus again, if that's you and you need to have God heal you in your body, heal you in your mind, heal your heart and put your life back together, give you your sequel, give you your part two, if that's you, let me pray for you. As we sing this song again, you stand to your feet. I'll pray for you right where you're at. Jesus, heal. Jesus, heal me. Lord Jesus, touch my life. My body and my mind. Jesus, heal me. Jesus, heal me. By your stripes. Jesus, heal me. Tonight. Those of you that are sitting down, around those that are already standing, I'm going to ask you to stand up next to those folks right now and put your hand on their arm or on their shoulder and just begin to pray for them. You may have to walk over an aisle to somebody you don't know, you've never met them before, but God has given you a prayer to pray. And as you pray that prayer, if something's released from you, God's going to release something back into your life. Heavenly Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, for you are our healer. You are the one who raised up Lazarus from the dead. You are the one who calls us by name. You are the one who gives life. You are the one who restores. You are the one, Lord God, that makes all things new. Heal us today. Restore us. Give us new life in Christ. Give us our sequel. Give us our part two. Give us our new chapter. Restore us, heal us, mend up the brokenhearted. In Jesus' name, we'll receive it by faith. Now let's all stand together. We all need this here today. Somebody say with me, Jesus, heal me. Jesus, heal me. Lord Jesus, touch my life. My body and my mind. Jesus, heal me. Jesus, heal me. Oh, by your stripes. Jesus, heal me. Tonight. By your stripes. Jesus, heal me. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we have been healed. Can somebody give the Lord some praise in this house here today? How many can feel the presence of God in this room right now? Come on now. Let me hear somebody say, he's good. Say it again. He's good. He's good. He's good all the time. Okay, come on. Get those 10 string instruments together right there. We're going to say he's good. He's good all the time. He healed my body and he healed my mind. There's no better friend you'll ever find than Jesus Christ. How many believe there's no better friend you'll ever find? You believe that this morning? Say he's good. He's good. He's good all the time. He healed my body and he no better friend you will. Good to me. I know he's good. He's good. Heal my body. No better friend you will. He's good to me. The song says he'll heal your body and your mind. Do you realize that crazy people do not know they're crazy? You realize you could be standing next to somebody right now who's out of their mind crazy, but they do not know it, but you know it. So you could turn to that person next to you and say, look, man, I know you're crazy. Say, everybody knows you're crazy. You can shake up and say, man, the whole church knows you ain't right. You realize that, but you in the right place. How many know you in the right place here today? Come on, say, he's good. He's good. He's good. He's healed my body. No better friend. It's good to me. I know he's good. He's good. Heal my body. No better friend you will. It's good to me. No better friend. There's no better friend you will ever find. Say it. No better friend you'll ever find, because he is good to me. He's good to me. He's good to me. If he's been good to anybody here this morning, give him 5 seconds of praise. Come on, 5 seconds. You got five? You got four? Three? All right. Sit down, relax. The pastor's given me an opportunity to receive an offering for this ministry, and before I do that, the only thing I can do is kind of tell you what we do and kind of where we're going and what the passion in my heart is. You know, and I feel like I need to say this for somebody here today. Somebody needs to hear this. Ministries have a tendency to start supernaturally, but end naturally. There's a natural end. And sometimes we're looking for a supernatural end to something, like we had a supernatural beginning. And life doesn't really usually work out that way. So some of you here today have had a supernatural beginning to something you've started. Maybe it was a business. Maybe it was a call into a ministry or a career or something like that. And it started supernaturally, and you feel like it's not working like it used to, or it's maybe it feels like it may have run its course, but you're looking for a supernatural end. And usually it doesn't end supernaturally. It usually ends naturally, like our life ends naturally. And sometimes it ends short. Now, you know, the doctors told me that I have a 3 to 5 year window. That's what they said. And with treatment and all that. So I've just rounded the corner of my fourth year heading into my fifth. And people say, well, no, God's going to give you extra years and da-da-da-da-da. Well, you know, he could have just healed me, like, right out the box instead of going through what the doctor said. But so you don't know what to think or what to believe. So the only thing you can do is say, for the time that I do have here, for whatever natural time God has for me, I want to make it the most effective as I can. Because ultimately, the thing that's going to mean the most, when all in life is done and past, only what's done for Christ will last. And the things that we're going to be remembered for, the things that really will mean the most, are things that we did on behalf of the kingdom. It's not going to be how much money we had or how much left over. I mean, how much was Martin Luther King worth the day that he died? What did he have in the bank? Who knows? Who cares? It's his life that meant something. It's his life that affected us. It's what he did while he was alive, while he was here. It's not those little things that are left over. There's so many people that have meant so much to us. Who knows what they were worth when it's irrelevant? A lot of people are worth a whole lot more dead than they were alive. But that's irrelevant. You just remember what they did while they were here. So while I'm here and while I have an opportunity to minister, I want my life to count for something. Because whenever that time does come where I have no presence here on this planet, I'm somewhere else, I want the words that I had and the deeds that I had to speak for themselves. And I want you to have that too. Because, you know, nothing's probably going to happen here today that is going to change the course of this ministry. Maybe keep it on course. I don't know if it's going to change the course. But I want you to experience some of the things that I've experienced when you're giving, because you help put in motion things that God has put into my life. And sometimes you may not be the person to do it, but you might be the person to propel it and to move it forward. So I say that to you here today for those of you that are, it's hard for you to transition from one thing you're doing into something else. Just know that certain things, they may have started supernaturally, but they do have a natural end. And it may be time for God to start something new supernaturally, as opposed to give you a supernatural end to something, if that makes any sense. So to some people, that will make a whole lot of sense. I have a passion for people that have gone through what I went through. And you know that cancer is such a hideous thing. And I have so many people that I knew that have passed away because of it. My niece passed away. Why she didn't make it and I did, I don't know. I don't know. I really don't. And when I was in the hospital, you know, they say, well, you know, you get to a certain age and maybe it's because you were eating this way or you were the foods that we have are denatured and all the things we all hear. But then there's like a kid over there that's like 20 years old. It's got the same thing. Hair's gone, hunched over, can't move. Like
So what happened to them?
I mean, they couldn't have ingested all the food I did over the years. I definitely got more years than they do, so how doesn't it make sense? And then you see some little kids that are like 8 or 9, and they're fighting with the same thing. And sometimes I make phone calls to see how this one's doing or that one's doing. There was one lady in particular, she was from France, had this great French accent, always dressed all real stylish, and even though she had hoses in her arms and no hair, always had a little wig on, and she had this little boy. She was just the cutest thing. And the name is Ava. I remember Ava, you know, going to treatment. I remember calling back to see how she was doing, only to find out that she had passed away from the very same thing that I was fighting. So you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know what's going to happen next week. You only know what you can do today. And that's what we have to think about. So I want to give you like a little picture. I got like a short little video just to give you a picture kind of what's in my heart, the type of things I like to do, where I like to bring Jesus to where he's going to show up, where he might not be expected. It started for me in the 90s. I heard about South Africa was having all these apartheid issues. So we went over there and we did a concert at Wanderers Cricket Stadium in Johannesburg, South Africa, and had 50,000 people come out. And this stadium had never been used for any purposes other than cricket. Even Nelson Mandela had to come and see what was happening with his people, watch all these kids worshiping God. And we went to Texas Stadium, and the good news there is in one night, 5,000 people were born again. I still meet them coming up in concerts. We went to New York at a park that three gangs were at war over. 200 cops came out. They thought there was going to be a big riot. It was just people coming to Christ. And we went down to Mardi Gras. I was really brave. Went down to Mardi Gras. We set up right on the street where they said you have to wear bulletproof vests and everything to come down here. They kill preachers down here. I said, well, that's where we need to go. About a year and a half ago, we went to Bike Week down in Spring Break, Daytona Beach. Because I said, well, that's where all the sinners are, so we need to go there. You know, I mean, they're all congregated together. Bike Week and Spring Break, who can miss? But I like to take Jesus where he's not expected to show up, because that's where it's needed. Here's some place he's not expected to show up, at these cancer research places. That's me with a doctor who took care of me. A lot of these people are stuck to these beds that you see me in. And it takes a lot to get through all that. You go through tests and they're drilling into you and needles. And a lot of people that I know are on those beds like that, just so you see me riding around on. But they're just kids, a lot of them. And my passion is to bring these people that can't get out, bring them to concerts. Because I know when I do a concert in a town, it's a little different thing than when I come on a Sunday morning. Because, you know, you bring people from all over the city. You don't want people don't want to leave their churches. But that's what I do. And I have this other thing that I do. When I was in the hospital, it was a big deal for me to know people were praying for me. So I had this thing made. And this is like, means a lot to me. It's this little bear. And it says on here, somebody's praying for me. And when we do our concerts, people that are in cancer treatment or people that are struggling with cancer or whatever, they're going through chemo, we give them one of these for nothing, for free, to let them know that somebody's praying for them. We have these in the back. So I'm sure that there's somebody in your life that needs to have one of these sitting on their windowsill or on their at the end of their bed or something like that, to know somebody's praying for them. But this came out of me posting on Facebook because I needed people praying for me. So that's why I came up with this thing. I says, I need to have something that says somebody's praying for me. So this is my passion, to get some of these folks to come and to be able to minister to them in a context that will be a little different than just at a hospital. So, you know, when you're receiving an offering, it's like an altar call. This is the altar call for people who are already born again. And when people get born again, they don't come down to the altar and say, okay, I want you to just pray whatever you feel. No, you don't know what they're going to pray. They may be praying to Buddha or Krishna or some, you know, praying to the universe. You don't know. You got to lead them if they call a sinner's prayer, right? You got to confess Jesus is Lord and believe that God has raised him from the dead. You don't just let folks wing it. And when it comes time for the offering, people sometimes like to know specifics. Well, I can give you just a couple specifics, and then after that, I'll ask the ushers to get in place. But here's a couple specifics. In order to get some of these kids to come to a concert, and to come there, whoops, well, wow, that fell off. They want to come with their families. And
you know, because they're kind of insecure, you know, they don't have any hair, and they have the little masks on, sometimes little hoses in their nose, and they want to come with their family and their brothers and their sisters and their little friends and everything. And to get like a van, you know, to put them all in and to get them to be able to come, it cost like about $100. So $100 would get like a van load of people to come with one of these kids who may never come to a situation like that or be in a room where they feel the presence of God like that. They're stuck in hospitals. So that's one of my passions. There's one other thing for those of you that have the faith and you're ready to plant a seed because you're believing for God something in your life and you need to plant a seed that really that hits home. In order to get one of those hospital beds, put somebody in the house that can't leave because they're in one of those hospital beds and they have to be transported by ambulance. So it takes about like $1,000 to put somebody in one of those hospital beds to come with the, with their attendants, and they bring them. They'll beat down aisles, and they'll wheel them in at a certain time, then they'll wheel them out. But a lot of times the hospitals won't do it, and the hospitals won't pay for it, and the families can't pay for it. And what we do what we can through people that make donations. So if you want to do something like that, that would be greatly appreciated. Somebody's life will change for sure on something like that. And I know there's a lot of you here who can do that. And it's time for you to do something special for somebody. Because if you have the goods of this world and you see your brother in need, you cannot shut up your bowels of compassion against them. That's why it's there. That's why God blessed you, so that you can contribute and help somebody else. So when you're giving here today, understand it's a seed that you're sowing. Not just in their lives, but you're sowing in your own life as well. You're doing something for somebody else that's extraordinary because maybe you need to have somebody do something extraordinary for you. This is how those seeds are planted, by actually doing something. You do that, and those things, they do come back to you. So I'm going to ask for all the ushers to get in place. We're just going to have a word of prayer. And then we'll receive the offering. If you're making out a check, I believe you can make it out to either Destiny or DCC. Is it DDC or DCC? DCC. DCC, that's what I thought. I just got it right the first time. So let's have a word of prayer and ask for God's blessing. And let's see what an anointed room of faith will do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for meeting us at our point of need. We thank you for the healing power of Jesus Christ. Not just to heal our bodies, but to heal our lives, to touch our bodies and our minds. So Lord God, you know some of the things we've been through, the things that nobody else knows except you. The things sometimes that torment us, that we can only come to you for relief. So Heavenly Father, we ask for your blessing upon this offering, and we sow it, Lord God, as a seed into your kingdom, and even a seed into our own lives, because we need a special blessing for somebody to be there for us when we really need them. And let this be our way, Lord God, of reaching out and demonstrating our faith by our gift. This is our faith. This is part of our lives. And we sow it into your kingdom this morning. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Everybody said what? Amen. Well, I got some things I want to tell you, but before we do, I want to know, if you're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I want you to help me sing this song. It goes like this. No way we are not ashamed of the gospel or his name. Holy hands are lifted high to the name. No way we're not ashamed. Holy hands, to the name. I've been in the ministry for decades, and now all I know is how to do things that kind of minister to people. So you even try to make T-shirts and other things that have a ministry value to them. So this is like my favorite color, purple. I don't know why, but it is. And if Jesus is your plan A, we've got a T-shirt that says, there is no plan B. How many know there's no plan B if Jesus is? So we got these, and we got these from our last tour. So we're going to let these move pretty inexpensively. These are only $5 a piece for as long as they last. When they're gone, they're gone. So there you go. And also, I have people have been asking me about my videos. He says, I like to show them to my kids, but all I got is VHS, and they don't know what a VHS is. So we had all the videos, all 36 of them, put on a DVD set. There's three DVDs. So all the videos are on here with a full concert and a movie and a couple of other things with director's commentary tracks. We got those on the side. For those of you that want the ultimate video collection, say no way we of the gospel. Holy hands to the name. No way. Holy hands to the name. One of the first songs I ever wrote, it was like in the 70s, man. I was like, I don't know, I was two. And this song has been following me around and has been on the t-shirt in about 100 different ways, but this is the one seems like everybody likes. It says, I'm a Bible thumping, pew jumping, Jesus loving, devil shoving, blood bought, red hot, soul redeeming, shouting, screaming, overcoming, child of God. So we got a bunch of those out there. And all the CDs, I have a bunch of CD collections, some best of collections, and the CDs are like, I think they're 10 a piece or 3 for 20. So, and we do the same thing with the t-shirts, 10 a piece or 3 for 20. So you can get any combination of that. And also, we have these on the side. So for some reason, people like these bears more than they like the music. I mean, I'll move more of these bears than I do CDs. It's funny. So maybe I should not worry about 100 million records. Maybe I should worry about 100 million bears. So. But these mean a lot when you give them to somebody, especially women. Where's all the ladies here? All the ladies up on your feet. All the ladies. No way of the gospel. Which lady really wants one of these? You sure? You really want one? No way of the gospel. Holy hands. Namaste. To the name. Okay, all the guys too. Everybody, come on, everybody up. We're coming in for a landing here today. Come on, get those 10 string instruments together. Now, if I see a little bit of enthusiasm, I'm going to toss one of these out there. No way. We're not ashamed. No way. No way. No way. Holy hands to the name. No way of the gospel. Holy hands to the name of Jesus Christ. Pastor Joe, come on here.